We take you live to First United Church of Christ in Sauk City for the Sunday morning worship service.
Good morning. Welcome to First UCC. Welcome to everyone here in the sanctuary. Welcome to everyone listening on the radio, and welcome to everyone watching on YouTube. We are happy that you took some time out of your Sunday to join us, and we hope you are fulfilled during your worship time with us. So, I think you've all figured it out already. I'm not Pastor Jennifer. Pastor Jennifer, late in the week, just was feeling under the weather and was not able to be here today, so I'm filling in. And lest you think that this is something amazing, that on a short notice I was able to do this, she gave me her sermon. I'm reading her stuff. So now that's a good thing, but don't give me too much credit. All right, so a few orders of operation kind of stuff here. Without Pastor Jennifer here, we are not going to do communion today, even though it's in the bulletin. And the commission of Sunday school teachers will be postponed a week. All right? And let's see, the readings actually are from a couple of weeks ago. So what's on the slides is correct. So when we get to the readings, just watch the screen. All right. Additional announcements. So with me up here, the liturgists today actually are Christy and Barb. And our radio sponsor today is Rose Kleinert, in memory of her mom, her brother Art, and great-nephew Scotty. And a reminder that if you would like to sponsor a radio broadcast, we do have three open dates yet. October 20th, November 3rd, and December 1st. So contact the church office if you would like to sponsor one of those dates. A reminder that we're still in September and our Stock the Schools campaign is going on. The products, hygiene products, is what we're collecting. Last Sunday, was our chicken dinner, and it was a great success. Within 30 minutes of starting, we sold 200 halves, 200 dinners, so it was fantastic. So a big thank you to everyone who volunteered to make it that successful, and a thank you to everyone who stopped by and bought a dinner. We really do appreciate that. And if you weren't able to participate, just put a note on your calendar for the first Sunday after Labor Day next year, because we're going to do it again. So. Monday, September 23rd, there will be Lifeline screening. Will be here at the church. They perform health screenings, and if you are interested in their services, there's an informational sheet out in the narthex, and a reminder that we do have a few discounted forms. If you would like to take advantage of that, please see Rose. And the open and affirming committee will have their letter writing workshop on October 13th. We're gonna meet downstairs in the fireside room, and we're gonna just talk about, Shirley and Shirley are gonna talk about how you can write letters. We're gonna practice, and all the supplies that you might need for that are going to be provided. So, Sunday, October 13th. And finally, I do want to encourage you on Thursday, October 24th, the Sauk Pray Against Hunger event, the PAC event, is being held. And if you have not participated in that in the past, it is a fun evening. It really, truly is. They play loud music. We have, it's a little bit of a competition against the other tables to go as, fill as many boxes as we can. It's fun. It really is a great time. So we have a full table, room for 20 people, and there is a sign-up sheet out in the narthex. And if you have any other questions, just come see me, because I love it, and it's a good time. So I encourage you to do that, too. Okay. It's time for our welcome statement, which we read every week so that everyone knows that we are truly an open and affirming church, and we welcome everyone. So our welcome statement says, love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said that. The First United Church of Christ is an open and affirming congregation. We strive to foster loving and caring relationships in our church and community as we welcome and value all people, whoever you are, however you identify, whomever you love, whatever your story. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome as you are here at when you are here at First United Church of Christ, Sauk City. Now it's time for our moment of silence, so please lean back, relax, take a deep breath, and meditate and feel the presence of the Lord.
Please join me now in the call to worship. In the name of Jesus, the bread breaker, the light gatherer, the cross carrier, welcome. Let us draw close to Jesus, the friend, the leader, the healer, the teacher, and worship, and ask ourselves, who do we say he is? Please join us now in the hymn 742. It's in the way back of your hymnal. gathered here?
We have a great plan for this hymn. Choir worked on it on Wednesday, but we would like the congregation to join us in our presentation of it. I want to play through it once just so you can get a sense of it. That's all there is to it. It's very short, but it needs to be dressed up a little bit. So let's have the whole congregation sing it with me. Here we go. Gathered here in the mystery of this hour, gathered here in one strong body, gathered here in the struggle and the power, Spirit, draw near. Okay.
Now, we're going to sing it as a round. We'll sing it all together one time through, and then about this much of the congregation will be with the altos. This much of the congregation will be with the gentlemen, and this much of the congregation will be with Tammy and myself. And we will sing through it four times all together. Once unison, and then lead, follow, follow, and you will do it three more times, three more times, three more times. Fingers crossed. Oh, Chrissy, please, an intro would always be nice.
Holy One, sometimes we speak without thought or love. harm they can do. We let empire tell us what and who matters and what success looks like. The kingdom of God is different. You call us to turn away from our own selfish interests, to take up our cross, and to follow you. And here's the promise. God knows that we have temptations whispering in our ears. God knows this and forgives us when we fall and loves us always, no matter what. We are forgiven, we are welcome, we are one, for which we all say, thanks be to God.
In the Lord I'll be ever thankful, in the Lord I will rejoice. Look to God, do not be afraid. Lift up your voice as the Lord is near. Lift up your voice as the Lord is near.
Now it's time for our kiddo time, and I'm going to invite Margaret McFarland forward to lead the kids' time today.
Good to see you. Good morning. I'm so happy that you're here today. Last Sunday was exciting. It was our first Sunday of the new Sunday school year. And those of you that were here remember that I told you we were going to go on a journey, right? I was going to go on a journey, and then I decided that I would take all of you with me and that we were going to have an exciting time, but I left some of the details out and said would catch up because I didn't tell you where we were going, did I? I said it's going to be a surprise. So let's catch up. Ari wasn't here last week, and of course some of our friends in the congregation weren't here. Those of you that were here, help them out. So what did we need to take along for our journey? We needed a passport, right? Sometimes when you travel out of the country, you need a passport. What else did we need? We do need our pictures and the passports. Yes, last week we took pictures, and so today we are going to put the pictures in. Yes.
We need money to pay for stuff.
We need money, so there was money. Yes, what else? Food? Yeah, snacks. We need those, absolutely. Anything else? Were we going to carry all our bundles? What were we going to do? Anna? We needed a backpack or some sort of a bag, didn't we? Yep. Was there anything else? All right. Reagan, if you'd help me out, would you get out for Aria? She's going to need a bag. I think. Oh, and Emma's here, too. We need one for Emma down there. So they need a bag. It's not very big, but you guys don't pack like I do. All right. What else do they need? They need food, you said. So Reagan's getting that out. And money, right. Got it? All right, when we go up to the classroom, then I will catch you up as far as getting your passport. They do need a passport. Perfect. Thank you, Reagan. I appreciate your help. All right, so today is the first day of our journey, and I told you it was a surprise, so let's see. There's a hint in my bag. So my bag looks kind of puffy. Sometimes when you go somewhere, your backpack, or if you're staying at somebody's, is it hard to get all your belongings in? Like, you really have to pull the zipper to get it closed? Well, that's what I had to do today. But there's only one thing in there, but it's taking up a lot of room. All right, Anna, you want to go down and open up one of those big zippers? The big zippers on the side. There's lots of zippers in that pack. Anybody have any guesses? Take a little peek, Anna. Just take a little peek. Oh, anybody else see from there? Two Henrys in the middle. What do you see? You saw a globe in there? Well, that's a silly thing to take on a trip. My goodness. Who would like to get out that globe for us? Ella, do you want to do that? Or, I'm sorry, Emma. Sorry. You're right. It's a globe. Do any of you have globes in your classrooms at school? You do? Okay. We don't use the globes as much as we used to. This one is quite old. It's been up in the education building for a long time. So we have a globe. Well, where do you suppose we're going to go?
Anywhere.
Anywhere, because there's a lot of places on the globe, right? Any other guesses where we're going to go? All right. Well, we're already on the Earth, right? So we're here, and we are going to go. Are you ready? Drum roll. We are going to go to the beginning. We're going to go to the beginning. How does that sound? Fun? Reagan, what do you think? What do I mean by that? Exactly. The beginning usually is used to describe, like, where, like, at the start of the race or at the
beginning of time.
Beginning of time. Ooh, she's got her thinking cap on. Yes. So we are going to go to the beginning, and I'll give you a hint. Think about a Bible story that's in the beginning. What's the first book of the Bible? Does anybody remember from our other year studies? Oh, I bet you know. Somebody's being quiet. The very first book of the Bible is, let's ask our friends. Genesis. And Genesis means the beginning. So today, that is where we are going to start. We are going to start at the very beginning of God's story. And we know that God created the heavens and earth, and that God is so powerful that he made the entire world. He made all things. So when we go to our class upstairs, first we're going to get our passports ready by putting the pictures in. Well, then you got to stand in line to get your passport stamped and to get let into the beginning. And we got to take a couple of new pictures today, yes. So you might have to stand in line and get your passport stamped, and then we will go into the beginning. And after that, you'll have your story with your teachers that is about the beginning and God's wonderful creation. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give thanks today for all of our friends here in Sunday school. We give thanks for those who aren't with us today. We are excited to start a new beginning at the beginning. We give thanks for the opportunity to learn about you. And we especially give thanks for all of your creation. Amen. Let's see. We had Anna and Ella did the candles today. Thank you, girls. We practiced last week, so you did a great job. How about you two stand by the first pew there? You could be our line leaders. Somebody want to grab the bag for me since I need a lot of help today? Do you want to carry it, Reagan? Reagan, why don't you carry it? All right, you can get in line then.
Go off to the beginning. The first reading comes from James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will face stricter judgment. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is mature, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships, though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, yet they are guided by a very small rudder whenever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire! And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of life, and it is itself set on fire. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless God, and with it we curse people made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes a blessing and a cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives or a grapevine fig? No more can salt water yield fresh. Here ends the reading.
Thank you, Denny, for the interlude. And thank you, Christy, for bringing the epistle lesson to us. Truer words were never spoken. Our Christian scripture today is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses 27 through 38. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others, Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any wish to come after me, Let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes into the glory of God. Here ends our reading. So this passage is a turning point in the Gospel of Mark, geographically and narratively, even though it comes only at the halfway point. Up until now, most of the action has been traveling around Galilee, healing, feeding, casting out demons, and teaching about the kingdom of God. Crowds have been amazed and have followed him, desperately wanting what he offers: liberation, healing, food. They speculate about who he might be. John the Baptist returned? Elijah? A new prophet? A revolutionary? Good guesses, perhaps. But Jesus pushes further by asking the disciples what they think. Now, for the reader, Jesus' identity is never in doubt. The opening line of the gospel tells us he is the Messiah and Son of God. We have already heard voices from heaven and declarations from demons declaring Jesus' true identity as Messiah. But no one in the gospel narrative has gotten it right. But Peter's answer seems to get it right. You are the Messiah. Messiah translates to anointed one, the one sent by God to save God's people. And then everything pivots. For the first time, Jesus predicts his death. And starting now, the primary story in Mark is the road to the cross. This short conversation begins the journey to Jerusalem. From here on out, Jesus and the disciples will be on the road toward Jerusalem. It matters where this conversation takes place. Caesarea Philippi, named for Augustus Caesar, was a center of imperial power. There is a temple dedicated to Augustus, himself declared a god and son of the god Julius Caesar. Near this temple, dedicated to Roman oppressors, under whom the Jewish people suffered, Peter notes the contrast. You are the Messiah. You will deliver us from imperial power, represented by the big temple right over there. Peter is kind of right, but mostly wrong. So Jesus says, no, actually, I'm going to die. He told them before there would be persecution. And they might have thought, okay, there'll be some tough moments along the way. But then after those rough spots, Jesus is going to be king and kick out the Romans and take over the temple and remake Israel. And we're going to be right there. Wealth, power, palaces, awesome. Except now, Jesus says, no, it's not like that at all. Actually, what is going to happen is that I'm going to go through rejection, suffering, and death. And all those good things you were looking forward to, well, instead of that, you get to take up crosses and lose your lives. Instead of power, you will get rejection, persecution, and then death. You know the Robert Frost poem, The Road Not Taken? Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry, I could not travel both. That poem. Well, down one road is rejection, persecution, and then painful death. Down the other road is wealth, fame, power, and a lovely palace. Which one would you choose? And then Jesus says, yeah, we're choosing the painful death road. And we do know what is down the other road, and we are choosing this one on purpose. The disciples are stunned. Wait, what? This was not what they were looking for in a Messiah. Peter takes Jesus aside to rebuke him. Rabbi, no, you are here to conquer, not be killed. Nope, Jesus, that is not what we signed up for. Clearly, you haven't thought it through. So Jesus rebukes Peter in strong terms. Get behind me, Satan. Remember when Jesus was in the wilderness? This was one of his temptations, earthly rule. If you are the Son of God, you can be emperor. You could be a great king. You could destroy the temple of Augustus. This is what Peter wants. So he rebukes Jesus for offering a really deeply unappealing next step. Peter wants a new Davidic king who would ride out in triumph to rid Israel of its occupiers and oppressors and live gloriously without much suffering. Peter recognizes Jesus as Messiah, but he has entirely misunderstood what kind of Messiah Jesus is. Jesus the Messiah comes not on a war horse, but on a donkey. He doesn't come to battle with armies. He doesn't come to create a new empire, even bigger and better than the Roman Empire. The Anointed was a title given to a monarch, and Jesus is a king, but not at all in the way Caesar was. Jesus opposes this kind of self-centered, violent, grasping power. He will not participate in a kingdom of big men with big armies and big wealth, surrounded by masses who have nothing. He will not battle a domineering fist with an even bigger fist. The answer to violence is not more violence. He comes instead with open, loving hands. Jesus will indeed lead a revolution, but it will be a revolution of love, peace, and justice. Then, perhaps prompted by his dispute with Peter, Jesus calls the larger crowd to join the disciples. He wants everyone to hear, and everyone includes us. Jesus says, listen, everyone. Anyone who thinks this journey will be a violent campaign with domination and triumph, stop. That is not what I am about. That is not what following me is about either. That road is not real deliverance. Instead, dear ones, to follow me is to let go of all desire for empire. Give up self-centered power grasping. To follow me is to take up your own cross and suffer for the sake of love and justice. Jesus knows what he is heading toward, and he wants us to see it clearly too. Following him will mean suffering. This is not because suffering is good, but because confronting the powers that be, not with a sword, but with love, will mean carrying a cross. Jesus dies because he has come for love, for radical freedom, and powerful humans are going to oppose this healing mission, and even more, they will feel threatened by how this mission disrupts the empire. He came to preach love and service and freedom, and for that, he would be killed. Bell Hooks, author of All About Love, says, "The practice of love offers no place of safety. We risk loss, hurt, pain. We risk being acted upon by forces outside our control." So, Jesus inevitably elicits antagonism, violent antagonism, from those invested in maintaining the status quo. Of course Rome wanted to kill him. Of course religious leadership saw him as a threat. Now please note, take up your cross can be and has been interpreted in extraordinarily wrong and problematic ways to justify domestic abuse, poverty, slavery, colonialism. Jesus is not telling us that the cross has value in itself. To stoically endure the burdens of life, to put up with cruelty, to bear abuse, because these are just the burdens we have to bear. No, no, no. Jesus tells us that to follow, sometimes we have to stand up and do hard, uncomfortable things. He stood up to the empire and the powers that be in order to reduce suffering. The cross shows what the empire does when it is threatened. The empire silences one who speaks out for love, silences one who says God is here. Dying on the cross is not to justify or validate suffering or make suffering redemptive. That is the opposite of what he was about. We take up the cross to follow him in speaking truth to power, in healing and alleviating suffering. The cross shows God's solidarity with suffering. It does not condone suffering. God says, "I love you and I am with you," to abused and scandalized people, to losers and to the down and out. Jesus didn't go looking for a cross to die on, but it was a consequence of the work he came to do. His commitment to the healing of humanity literally knows no limits, despite the consequences. This is not to say, go look for terrible things. But if you stand for love and resist the empire, it can be dangerous. It was for John the Baptist, who was killed for speaking truth to power. It was for Jesus and James and Peter and Martin Luther King Jr. and Harvey Milk, and more. Jesus says to anyone who would follow, whoever would be a disciple, aka us, that if we would be disciples, if we would be in relationship with him, that it means we have to say hard things. We have to take risks. And sometimes this will be upsetting to others. This is what it means to follow a king who subverts kingship, a deliverer who means to deliver us from our own self-centeredness and longing for more. Do you want to save your life? Then lose your life. Stop trying to hold on tight to life because it will flow right through your fingers. A clenched fist cannot hold it. Turn away from thinking about your own life and whether you are saved, and turn instead to your neighbors. Turn to the lost and unlived. Turn to the widows and orphans, or whoever is oppressed and told they do not matter. Turn to them in love, in peace, in service. Know that as you do this, some suffering is going to come along the way. Know also that resurrection and renewal will come too. This journey is not to be a triumphal march. It will include some crosses, and it will include more love, renewal, and resurrection. But living this way means that though you might fall, you will always rise. Now let's join in hymn number 531, God, Speak to Me. Now it's time for our corporate prayer where we share our joys and thanksgivings. Anyone want to come up and thank you?
Is this on?
Yes.
I would just like for a prayer for justice with what's going on in Springfield, Ohio, that the whole world will stand up for them, for the Haitian people.
I would like to say a prayer for Elijah Vu and hope that the people responsible for taking this young man and throwing him out in the woods like a piece of garbage, that justice is served.
Anyone else want to share a joy? Where did you see God this week?
A prayer for Jennifer and for anyone else who still contacts the virus that's going around. May she not suffer any ill effects and have a good recovery. And glad Denny is back with us too after his bout with the silly virus.
A I'd like people to say a prayer for Carol Crow, who's going in for surgery this Thursday.
Anyone else have something to share? Steve is asking for a prayer of thanksgiving for everyone volunteering for the chicken dinner, and it was a wonderful thing. Okay. Thank you, Tammy. Let us pray. Holy One, we ask for your presence to be felt by the Haitian immigrants and by all immigrants who are feeling the oppression that is being heaped upon them at the moment. Unfair oppression for things that honestly they don't do. Holy One, we ask that justice is served for Elijah and all who have been persecuted and told that they are not equal. We ask for your healing touch for Jennifer and for Carol Crow. And we ask that you be with each and every one of us this week as we go about our daily lives. May we feel your presence, the Holy Spirit, within us, moving us to take chances and speak truth to power. We learned today that that is what it means to take up your cross, and we ask for your strength as we try to live out that in our lives. And now we say the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, and the words will be on the screen. Oh, thank you. Holy One, our holy name, holy home, blessed be your name. May your day dawn, your will be done, here as in heaven. Feed us today and forgive us as we forgive each other. Do not forsake us at the test, but deliver us from evil. For the glory, the power, and the mercy are yours, now and forever. Amen. Evan, can you go back to that previous slide, the good news? We often go right by these, and I know that's pretty small print up there, but as I was reading this, as I was putting the slides together this week, this is a story about how in London they have repopulated beavers because beavers were hunted to extinction. And that's not something that I was aware of, but because beavers are, and again, this was something that I learned, they are actually stabilizers in the environment. The damming that they do actually helps control floodwaters. And they do, the biodiversity, and they do many good things, and I'm not going to read every word up there, but this is an example of where just a simple thing, right? Taking a moment to, instead of spending millions of dollars probably on flood mitigation, all it was to bring back God's creatures, a family of five beavers, I believe it said, the parents and three kids, and they resolved the issue. Flooding was down 60%, is that what the number, do I remember? Yeah, 60%. There was 73% less sediment, including pollutants. So, this is a wonderful example. I want you to think about this. This is a wonderful example of just a simple thing that we can do to help the environment and to help God's world. It is one way that we can pick up a cross, pick up our cross. Okay. It is now time for our offering, and I would like to read a poem that I do every time I, there we go, every time I do the pulpit fill. I like this poem. I hope you enjoy it too. It's not going to be on the screen, but here we go. When Giving is All We Have by Alberto Rios. We give because someone gave to us. We give because nobody gave to us. We give because giving has changed us. We give because giving could have changed us. We have been better for it. We have been wounded by it. Giving has many faces. It is loud and quiet, big though small, diamond in wood nails. Its story is old, the plot worn, and the pages too. But we read this book anyway, over and again. Giving is, first and every time, hand to hand, mine to yours, yours to mine. You gave me blue, and I gave you yellow. Together, we are simple green. You gave me what you did not have, and I gave you what I had to give. Together, we made something greater from the difference. Now, please join in our gratitude prayer. Jennifer wanted to try something new this week. So the right side of the church is going to read what's on the first paragraph. The left side will read what's on the second paragraph, and then we'll all join in the final one. And I'll join in with everybody. Okay, ready? So right side, here we go. Jesus, help us to know who you are and follow you. You walk beside your people, so we pray that we may walk for justice. You raise up those who are bent low, so we pray that we might help those held down by the grindings of life and the indifference of the world. You feed the hungry, so we pray that we might reach out for those who long for bread. Left side. You celebrate the small and insignificant. So we pray that we might give extravagant welcome to children, to singles, to those who come with questions and doubts, to LGBT folks, to any who have been hurt by church, to those of other colors and abilities, and to those who are never noticed. You say, follow me.
So you've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City.